Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers, text number 9. Manye dana bijana rupatapa shutaujas. Teja prabhava bala purusha buddhi yogaha. Narada danaya hibavanti parasya pumsa. Bhaktya tudosha bhagavan gajya yatapaya. Manye, I consider dana, riches, abhijana, aristocratic family, rupa, personal beauty, tapa, austerity, shuta, knowledge from studying the Vedas, oja, sensory prowess, teja, bodily effulgence, prabhava, influence, bala, bodily strength, purusha, diligence, buddhi, intelligence, yoga, mystic power, na, not, aradhanaya, for satisfying, he, indeed, bhavanti, are, parasya, of the transcendent, pumsa, supreme personality of Godhead, bhaktya, simply by devotional service, tutosha, was satisfied, bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Gajayata Paya, under the King of Elephants, Gajendra. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj continued, one may possess wealth, an aristocratic family, beauty, austerity, education, sensory expertise, luster, influence, physical strength, diligence, intelligence, and mystic yogic power. But I think that even by all these qualifications, one cannot satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, one can satisfy the Lord simply by devotional service. Gajendra did this, and thus the Lord was satisfied with him. Purport. No kind of material qualification is the means for satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, only by devotional service can the Lord be known. Bhaktimam avijanati. Unless the Lord is pleased by the service of a devotee, the Lord does not reveal himself. Naham prakasha sarvasha yogamaya samavrita. This is the verdict of all the shastras. Neither by speculation nor by material qualifications one understand or approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The idea is that material qualifications are superfluous, superficial to the soul. Of course, if the soul makes the right choices, right choices means if he accepts the mode of goodness as a standard of behavior, then gradually he becomes more clear in his consciousness. And if he accepts some other consciousness as the proper behavior, then his consciousness becomes more cloudy. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma et indriya pritya aprinoti nisadu manye yata atmanoyam asanapi kleshida ashadeha. Maharaja Shabde says, Nunam, indeed, Nunam pramatta, one is considered to be crazy. Nunam pramakta kurute vikarma, and engage in all kinds of sinful activities. Unam pramatta krute vikarma indriya prita apranoti. If one is trying to gratify the senses. Now, in the higher planetary systems, they're also gratifying their senses, demigod senses, but they're also Krishna conscious. And they've been given that position because of pious activities. But still, their activities are not considered to be auspicious. There's no auspiciousness in enjoying the material world. They may not be penalized for their enjoyment, but it's only temporary. Punya tetam bhuktva svarga loka vishalam shine punya marta loka vishati evam trai dharmam anapropanam gata gata kama kama lobhate. Those who find the trigunya vishya veda, nice trigunya bhavarjana, that there are Vedas, and if one follows the path of the Vedas, then one is being, to some degree, submissive to Krishna. But that submissiveness will give one a better material position. But after that karma is used up, the good karma is used up, one has to come back again, punya loka vishati, back to the material world again, and there's no saying where exactly where we're going to come back. Therefore, even in the heavenly planets, although they're intoxicated with material happiness, still in the background they know they're only there temporarily. Like you go on a vacation for 2 weeks, but you know you have to go back to some horrible job. So you can't really enjoy so much because you're counting the days, the minutes, till you're back in that horrible job again. So you never really left the horrible job because it's still in your mind. On the other hand, it's recommended here, bhakti mam abhijananti yavanyas shasmi tattvaha. There is another activity which is not part of this vikarma. It's not part of the material energy. It's called devotional service. Of course, devotional service is not so easy. Apparently, it's easy. Patram pushpam valam doyam yome bhakta priyachati taraham bhakti uparitam ashnami priyatamaha. If one offers me with a leaf, a flower, some fruit or water, I'll accept it. But it's not just offering Krishna a leaf, some fruit, a flower, and then trying to figure out what one's going to get in return for it. Krishna, I offered you 10 flowers, and by the way, my birthday is coming up. Just in case you don't know what to give me, I can send you a little note. No, it's not a question of just physically offering something that already belongs to Krishna. That's the difference between fruitive activity, offering a fruit and trying to get some activity out of it, and devotional service. In other words, it should be done to please Krishna. Without that element of understanding who Krishna is, where is there any question of pleasing him, trying to please him? If we don't know Krishna, how can we try to please him? So it's a question of giving up some of our bad habits that prevent us from knowing Krishna, just as claiming ourselves subtly in the background to believe that we're actually on an equal level with Krishna. That these things belong to me, things should go according to my will. If I want something to be done, it should be done. And if God doesn't help me, then he's useless. Maybe I'll try it a different way. So many different types of material consciousness. Profit, adoration, distinction, jiva hingsa, kutinati, siddhachar, some of the anarthas that the soul may have. Jiva hingsa, harming grossly or subtly other living entities. Siddhachar, improper behavior. Kutinati, enviousness. Pratishta, wanting to have prestige, and wanting material gain and having material distinctions. Puja, Pratishtha, and what's the other one? What's that? No. Puja, Pratishtha, and something, material gain, wanting some. So these are all anarthas, and if one accepts these anarthas, well, first of all, one may be completely unaware that one has anarthas. One may think that I'm perfect, powerful, and happy. I'm aristocratic. And everyone who comes in contact with me also, to the degree they surrender to me, they become aristocratic too. We may have so many misconceptions, and therefore it's very hard to surrender to Krishna. Nirmana, moha, jita, sangha, dosha, adhyatma, nitya, vinivritta, kama, dvanvai, vimukha, sukaduka, samgara, gachanya, padam, avyam, yat. So there's nirmana, nothing is mine. I'm not my mind either, my material mind. Nirmana, moha. So one can become free from this false prestige, this nirmana, moha, this illusion that binds us, that I am this body, that I am the doer of my activities. I am so many different things, but they're all false. And therefore, at least intellectually, one should understand them, and therefore not become caught up in the anxieties of material existence, looking around and wondering, why aren't things going the way I planned them to? What's wrong with this creation? To give up this spirit that things have to go according to my desire, my plan, and if not, I'm going to work hard so that my desire and plan is fulfilled. Prabhupada gives the example that during World Wars, the ladies in France, they went to the church and they prayed, "My dear Lord, please bring back my father, bring back my husband, bring back my son." And the German ladies, they also went to church. And they pray, "My dear Lord, please bring back my son. Please bring back my father. Please bring back my husband." But they're going to war. They're killing each other. They're not coming back. So then they blamed, oh, they became atheists. Oh, God doesn't fulfill my plan. I prayed so hard. I was so sincere. What is his value? Better worship the devil. He seems to be in charge. So one may think like that, but they never asked Krishna whether he wanted the war in the first place. Why should Krishna be blamed for something that people, due to their lust, anger, and greed, are causing? So one has to give up the attitude that Krishna is my order supplier and that he has to provide me with what I want. Now one may perform pious activities and get what one wants by the laws of material nature. As Krishna told his father in the Govardhan Puja, "Karma monks of philosophy. You work and the demigods will automatically give you what you deserve." That they're not independent, there's no guide independent. He has to work according to your karma. You perform your duties in the Varnashram system, then God has to give you the result. You perform this Indra Puja, he has to give you rain. But Krishna didn't agree with that. Well, actually he was agreeing with that. He said, "Why worship Indra?" He said, "Indra is providing rain everywhere anyhow. Even on the ocean, no one's doing a sacrifice on the ocean. And still he's pouring rain on the ocean. So why should we worship him? Just do your duty and you'll get the result." So Prabhupada chuckled and said, "Krishna has become an atheist. He's preaching atheistic philosophy." But actually, if we do our duty, we may get some result, but ultimately we may not become Krishna conscious either. That depends upon our mood, the mood of service and devotion. Everything else is meant to help that, bring us into that mold of consciousness. But without that mood of service, without the mood of bhakti, then everything else is called shravam eva hi kevalam, a waste of time. And if one has the mood of bhakti, then it doesn't really matter. There's some verse, I forget, it's that if you perform tapasya but you don't become Krishna conscious, then your tapasya is a waste of time. And if you become Krishna conscious, then what's the need of all this tapasya? And how to become Krishna conscious? Well, one has to hear from the right source with the right attitude and then try to practice. Practice doing the right thing in the right way and then try to modify one's attitude, being conscious that everything belongs to Krishna. Therefore, do things with care and attention. And one does things with care and attention in the service of Krishna, then Krishna will give one more intelligence how to do it. And therefore, there's a relationship established with the Supersoul. He's not some distant idea. We become an active participant in a relationship with the Supersoul. And therefore, one will do things with more and more transcendental discrimination and expertise, and one will see that one is completely dependent upon the Supersoul in order to do things properly, that one in devotional service. And as Krishna sees our sincerity, and as we go through the tests, because material life is a test. If everything is easy to do, then there's no test. So Krishna will arrange that we are put into difficulties. So in those difficulties, we have to turn more sincerely to Krishna, and then Krishna can reciprocate our becoming more sincere. We weren't born sincere, and just by normal activities we don't become sincere. It's in the time when we're put into difficulty, where our sincerity is test, then we can see whether we're going to become more sincere or not by becoming more and more dependent on Krishna, by becoming more and more prayerful and humble. Otherwise, we think we're doing, Krishna is giving me so much intelligence and I deserve it, I become very powerful, and therefore I deserve all the praise, acclamation, all the facility, because I am who I am, and therefore Krishna is naturally reciprocating with me. No, Krishna doesn't like that attitude very much. He has to develop within us humility, and therefore humility is not very much nicely developed when we become too much enamored with our material position or opulence, whatever else. Therefore, progressive development in material existence means progressively developing real knowledge and renunciation. So that even if one becomes a kshatriya and has a big kingdom, then one is preparing himself to leave the kingdom, go into the forest, and make his life perfect in Krishna consciousness. That his whole life is being trained to utilize a lot of energy, but utilize a lot of it, all of it in Krishna's service. Otherwise, without Krishna's service, then one will simply accumulate material things, and at the end of life become more and more attached to these material objects, which will drag them down into the lower species of life. As it says in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, if a king has a heavy turban on his head, if he doesn't bow it down before the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it simply serves as a heavy weight to drag one into the material existence. So we shouldn't be too much enamored with our present existence, thinking that certainly I'm a great personality, that's why I have such a great existence. We should understand that if we have some position, some opportunity to serve Krishna, it's only meant for service to Krishna. And we should not become enamored with that temporary situation because it's not going to last forever. Just like Arjuna was a great warrior, he was able to defeat on the battlefield Kurukshetra so many great personalities like Bhishma. He was able to defeat Karna and others. He defeated tens and thousands of warriors. But when Krishna wanted to take everything away, apparently when Arjuna was taking the queens away from Dwaraka, some aborigine cowboy men attacked the group and took the queens away. So Arjuna became a little despondent. I fought these great Maharatis and I defeated him, but some cowherd men defeated me. So he said, now my bow is useless, Gandiva. All my potency is just like throwing ghee into ashes. It has no value. So he gave it all up. So similarly, we have to give it all up. We should understand whatever we're given is simply a benediction from Krishna for his service. So whether we have a lot or a little, it makes no difference. Ultimately, what matters is our attitude of service. Certainly, Hanuman was a great personality. He was able to throw boulders into the ocean to build a bridge to Lanka. But when a little squirrel was trying to throw some rocks into the ocean, Hanuman said, step aside. You're a botheration. Lord Ramachandra came, when he saw that, and he chastised Hanuman. He said, you think you're so great because you can throw boulders, but actually, I appreciate the service of this little squirrel as much as I appreciate your service. Therefore, we should understand that the real thing is bhakti. That one should not become proud and puffed up, taking credit for the things that Krishna himself is doing through his energies. And imagine that we're the doer, we're accomplishing so many different things, we deserve so much credit. Because at the end, the only thing that's going to have any value is how much Krishna appreciates what we're doing, and he's not going to appreciate if we try to take the credit for what he's doing. He'll only appreciate it when we feel meek and humble, and we offer whatever we're doing in the service of Guru and Krishna and our acharyas for their pleasure and become satisfied simply by trying to become their instrument to the best we can and not becoming proud or even despondent over the results of our activities, but simply do whatever we're doing in order to try to please Krishna with that attitude. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Monday's a day of silence. Yes.
So when we have our service, should we strive more towards quantitatively expanding it or like more quality to boil it down?
Boil it down?
I mean to thicken it, to really be sort of immersed in it.
Well, what do you think?
I think both.
Both? Well, that would be nice, but which one are you going to choose first? You're going to have unlimited quantity and perfect quality all at once?
No, but this is the goal, or is it, isn't it?
Well, the goal is to become Krishna conscious. But first quality before quantity. Otherwise, it probably gives the example of milk. Milk is very nice, but if you add water to it, as they do in India sometimes to get more money, but if you keep on adding water, after a while you don't have milk, you have water. You have white water. You dilute it. So we keep on diluting our quality in order to get more quantity, and after a while we have nothing but white water. We may try to cheat people and claim it's milk, but it's not milk anymore. It's actually water. As Prabhupada said, more important to have one moon than millions of stars. Or we can just chant Hare Krishna once, offenselessly, then we'll at once become liberated. Rather than chanting millions of times offensively and winding up in the same position we started from. So first pull in the anchor before the bolt takes off. Else we'll be like the boatman party where they're rowing all night but they wound up in the same place they started because they forgot to pull the anchor up. Anything else? All right, thank you very much. Grandeur Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.